This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Welcome to the afternoon session. All right, and I think I've said this before, let me just say it again. One of the things about ministries and about conferences that God taught me is that Jesus sent people out two in twos. And that, for you to create impact during sessions, that you should do what Jesus did, which is peer anointings. So I have paired two anointings this afternoon. And no, let me say this here. First of all, these two men are good men. I'm saying this from my heart. Two of them are good men. You know, one day I was preaching for Pastor Kingsley, I don't know, and was preaching, and then he got up and, I think we were doing an interview, and he said, you know, when you have to forgive people, I looked, I said, who offends you? You don't look, you're not the kind of person that they offend. That's for people like us, you know. You are a very, very good person, all right. But I'll reserve my introduction for when his own session is coming up. All right? The first session is going to be this afternoon, Pastor Yemi Davis. Let me say this. Okay? He's a very practical, okay, let me put it this way. He's a wisdom teacher. Okay? Very practical in his disposition. Every time I bring him here, I say this. He's one of the people that, if I want to make a decision, when I say ministry, that will have an effect on the body of Christ or on the kingdom of God, I run my ideas through him because he has a brain for ministry. You know, there are footballers where they will say they should become coaches because they have a brain for football. You may have the skill, but then when you have the brain, it means you see the big picture. You have an overview of what's going on the pitch there. And he's that kind of person in ministry. He has ministry brain. There are people that have ministry brain that will can look at it and tell you that, look, this can influence this and affect this in this particular way. And he's here with his dear wife, all right, Pastor Bimbo, and his daughter also. I told her, I watch her on Instagram. You have blown, eh? All right, and let's welcome Pastor Yemi David.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands, let's give Jesus all the glory. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus all the glory for the year 2024. Jesus be glorified. We praise you. We honor you. If you're on site or online in any of the nations or any of the centers, lift your hands and just bless the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for Wolfbeck 2024. Thank you, Father. Mandela Costa Pratatika Sopratika Sata. Mende Stala. If you can pray in the Holy Spirit, please do pray in the Holy Spirit. Understanding. Pray for understanding. In the next few seconds, pray in the Holy Spirit. We subdue the flesh. The flesh will not have any hindrance. Sakata Lapokotana. Redaba, Holy Spirit, we put you in front. Glorify Jesus. Rela kampata la kapasito londe kitele karata. We break the power of any hindrance of any sort. Kanda prata, wandering thoughts, wandering minds, confusion. We bring them under the authority of the name of Jesus. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the, if you cannot pray in the Spirit, I ask that the Holy Ghost gives you utterance this afternoon. Hakara stepon da la ketesina mangle hava dekotos tambre andogloso. Speak to us the language we understand. Galala bostanda la kepatikate vandele koras da kla prate kotala hava la kopotos alakate palakate koro pristina nagbalade kastelaga hava daste rosta kalaba. Insight, concepts, ideas, understanding, lako rapata, answers. Answers, answers, answers. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way today as you have already started with us. Let there be answers to years of questions in the hearts of people. We will know what to do next. We will know what to do next. And it will yield the desired results. And even much more in the name of Jesus Christ. Please put your hands together for Jesus. Before you get seated, I want to appreciate the opportunity and privilege to speak to the body of Christ. This platform is beyond just a Lagos conference. I was telling our daddy in the Lord that everybody I was speaking with last week was just saying, I'm going to Wolfbeck. I'm joining Wolfbeck. I say, there's a fever in the city. Or I see a virus, but it's not coronavirus. It's Wolfbeck virus. So we celebrate the hand of God on Pastor Kwaju, Pastor Toyin. Thank you for your love and hospitality. Thank you, thank you. More grace, more strength, more global influence. And of course, as mentioned earlier, I'm here with my covenant partner, my wife. I'm so glad she's here. Abimbola Ajike, Ruth Davids. I love you. Thanks for being there. She's the first lady of Global Impact Ministries. And we're here with our daughter. Pastor's already introduced her. Pastor Kingsley and Pastor Murray, let's put our hands together for them. Thank you for being here. I love you. I think we've been together for how many years now? 20, 30. Yeah, yeah. I preached at their first anniversary conference in their ministry. He preached in our ministry. So I'm glad that we're still standing. It's a privilege that we're still standing. Praise the Lord. Because we are plenty. So this morning, I was in tears telling the Lord, I'm a vessel of mercy. Not everyone that starts the race ends the race. A lot happens in a year. Do you know that? Some start the year as singles and end the year as married. Are there such people here this morning, this afternoon? Some start the year low level, end the year greater level. This same time last year, some people started the year as citizens, but they ended the year as president. You understand? So a lot can happen in a whole year. You understand that? So you must respect the year. Tell your neighbor, respect the year. And the kind of choices you make in a year matters a lot. May 2024 be a defining moment for each one of us. Say it louder, amen. Please put your beautiful hands together for the Lord. As you get seated. I had an interview just before we came in here, and I was asked the question, can I remember the defining moment when I understood faith or practicalized faith? And I said, yes, that was far back in my, we call it secondary school here, but I think out there it's called high school. When I came to an understanding of God's covenant, I see the Christian life as a covenant work. It changed my life forever. God is a covenant-keeping God. Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant. You hardly hear God is a promise-keeping God, but he's a covenant-keeping God. Because for every promise, there is a God-word part, and there is a man-word part. The moment you see any promise in Scripture, any fabulous promises, amazing promises, for any aspect of life, ministry, finances, health, parenting, any aspect, there is always a part for you to play. Until you play that part, God is not committed to his part. That's why we call him the covenant-keeping God. But the good thing is this. Of the two parts, what God will do is always a billion times better than what you are required to do. For instance, how do you get saved? You can't be shouting in a meeting, "Oh Lord, save me! Oh Lord, just save me!" No, there's a way to be saved. Believe in your heart. And what? Confess with your mouth, and then you will be what? Saved. Just imagine that. Until you believe, that's your own part. So there's a way to be healed, there's a way to prosper. So when I understood that God is a covenant-keeping God, it redefined my walk with him. I believe that the Christian life is a covenant walk. Every time you are studying the Word of God, study it as a covenant book, showing your part and God's part. You ask him for grace to do your part. That's what grace will do. For you to do your part. When we preach the gospel, the grace enables people to believe him and confess, and then they will be saved. Grace to do your own part. So this afternoon, I want to talk about faith in God's covenant. Faith in God's covenant. Especially in the time we are in, economic challenges, all kinds of setbacks all over the place. People seem to be cringing. And we are here at this great conference talking about faith that moves mountains. If you understand the covenant, and no mountain will survive it. Because God is the one that will move it. The moment you do your own part, it's cleared out of the way. Genesis 26 from verse 1 to 5. We see an example of how this covenant helps us to flourish in a time of economic challenges. And we can draw so many lessons. There was a famine. Genesis 26, 1 to 5. There was a famine. Can we have that? Thank you. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine of the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, together. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, what did the Lord tell him? So some people are told to leave their country. And some people are told to stay in their country. When God met Abraham, he said, get thee out of thy country unto a land. Now he's speaking to Isaac here. He said, do not go down to Egypt. So when it comes to walking in the blessings of this covenant, you have to obey what he tells you to do, not us. There's something he is telling you for 2024, and you must capture it for yourself. And the Lord appeared to Isaac and said to him, do not go down into Egypt. Sojourn in this land, and I will bless you. Now, if he moved from there, the faith will not work, right? It won't work. It becomes impotent. So he starts with the leadings of the Holy Spirit. So we realize that Isaac stayed in the land. And then in Genesis 26, verse 12, by verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land or planted crops in that land and then reaped in the same year, maximum yield. I prophesy that this year there'll be maximum yield. I said there'll be maximum yield. Now look at it. There was famine in the land, and if someone is reaping 100-fold, like the famine had no impact on his life. That must be something higher than the land. That must be something beyond the land. If Isaac reaped 35-fold, 35%, or 60%, you know, it's still a testimony because there was famine in the land. But he reaped 100-fold. That means this covenant is so potent that it's beyond your local environment. It's beyond what obtains in your locality. You are drawing from heaven. So faith in the covenant pitches you above the economic situations, above the prevailing circumstances in the land. And that is what we all need at this time. If you play at that local level, you will suffer. If you play at that local level, it can go anyway. But if you transcend that level to the supernatural level or the covenant level, then you obtain supernatural results. Just imagine what the other farmers will say when they look at Isaac. Their own farmland was not yielding, and somebody else's ministry, business, career is just producing like they don't belong to that land. That is when your light so shined before men that they may see your good works and glorify him. That will be our experience in the name of Jesus Christ. So that must be a very powerful covenant. So what is this covenant? Why is God so committed to that covenant? Let's go to Hebrews 6, verse 12. Are we here? Can we read together? One, two, go. That you do not become, but verse 13. For when God made what? Because. What did he do? Stay there. When God made a promise to Abraham, he wanted to let Abraham know that this thing would happen. Nothing can stop it. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse, verse 14. Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. Verse 15, glory to God. And so, after he had patiently endured, he did what? Obtained the promise. Verse 16. For men, indeed, what? Swear by the greater. And an oath. Somebody say oath. Oath for confirmation is for them an end of all. This turned my life around. I grew up in a, of course, idolatrous setting, and I understand how oath operates. In school, cultists, they have to swear. We see it in our movies in Nigeria where, can I have two people, male, female, that want to marry? Okay, so now, this will help you understand that swearing. Can you help me with that verse 16 on the screen? We need a shrine. Protocol guys, let me get any shrine you can just put together. For men indeed swear by what? The greater. And an oath for what? Can we have this in TPT translation? This is a good shrine. You can put it here. We sanctify this altar in Jesus' name. Now, let's assume you are a maker. And you are a Adako, Now, when a maker wants to travel from Nigeria to United States, from the village, and they are in love, a maker now tell Adako, when I go to Obodo Yinbo, I'm going to come back and marry you. I promise. Adako will say, Emeka, when you see those white girls, will you come back? Emeka will say, I will come back. Are you sure? Adaku will now say, let's go and what? Swear. Now, help us with that verse, please. And the Passion Translation or the New International Version. It says, it is very common for people to do what? An oath by something what? For the oath will what? And end what? Oh. That was what God was trying to say to Abraham. No argument. So, but God does not have a shrine. He is the shrine. That's why he swore by himself. So, Emeka, carry Adakuna. Now, this is a spiritual thing when it comes to an oath. It can help me with NLT of that verse, New Living Translation. Now, the reason they swear here is this. There are demons involved, of course. When a maker will not make a commitment that if I go to Japan and I don't come back to marry Adahako, such and such and such will happen to me. He knows. When Adahako hears those proclamations that, she's now at what? At peace. You know why she's at peace? If he comes back, praise the Lord. But if he doesn't come back, his life is even worse than coming back. So it's an end of all dispute. Do you understand that? NLT. So just imagine. Now, when people take an oath, they call on what? Someone greater than themselves to do what? And without any question. That was what God did to Abraham. It's binding. So, are you married? Amen. So, he says, when I go to Japan, if I don't come back, let all my business go down. Adam will say, Isha. They'll be crying. If I don't come back from Japan, let me never marry where? Isha. By the time they finish, Emeka himself knows that I don't enter him. You are blessed. Let's put our hands together for them. Please move this train from this place in Jesus' name. Genesis 22:15. So God swore to Abraham, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. Next. And said, by myself have I what? Says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, verse 17, in blessing I will what? And in multiplying I will? Your who? Your descendant. That's where you entered the oath. I will multiply your descendants as stars. Say, I'm a star. My star will shine. I will multiply your descent as stars and then as sand. That's multiplication. Multiplication, which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of the enemies. This verse is a breakthrough verse. When I'm taking communion over any challenge in my life, the ones that are first class challenge, this is where I go to. The seed of Abraham will conquer any enemy. Village enemy, political enemy. When I break bread and say, Lord, you swore to Abraham that his descendant will possess the gates of their enemies. This is the challenge we are having in this church or in this family. Lord, I am obligated to ask you to give me victory over this matter. At the end of the day, the thing bows. God is binding on God because he swore to Abraham that I will do this to your descendants. That's how we fight. You have a business transaction. They say they are diabolical people. They are doing this. Understanding the covenant gives you supernatural victory. The seed. Galatians 3:26-29. So you understand that you are a descendant of Abraham. Say, I'm a descendant of Abraham. Say, like you believe it, I'm a descendant of Abraham. For you are all sons of God through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. 27, glory to God. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, but ye are all one where? And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Sakalaban, this thing. I'm Abraham's offspring. We possess the gates of our enemies. Cancer is an enemy. Stagnation is an enemy. Lack is an enemy. Any kind of enemy, and you know it's been promised in that oath, you bring it to God on the blood covenant. This covenant thing is this, what the devil perverted with cultism. You see people in the cult, when they make an oath, they hardly come out of it. They know that if you come and say anything, the thing is binding on you. That's why it's a perversion of this original covenant. This is our victory. Lions don't get scared of any animals in the forest. We are the lions. So you shouldn't be afraid of witches, of wizards, or of opposition. We are eagles. Eagles are not afraid of other animals. We are on the attacking side. We are where? It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. It's not that they are trying to chase the eagle. They say, no, don't kill me. No, it's eagle that eats snakes. Do you understand this thing? Do you understand this thing? This is a position in that oath. So when God swore to Abraham and his seed, anyone that gets born again enters into that oath. If you understand it, your life is settled. On that platform, you make a demand and God is ever ready. Let me give you a prophetic example of how this oath operates. There was a great king. His name is David. He understood the oath in the book of 1 Samuel 20 verse 14. 1 Samuel 20 verse 14. 1 Samuel 20 verse 14. You know David and Jonathan were friends, right? So when Jonathan realized that there was destiny on the head of David, he made David to swear. You understood it? That the moment the guy swears, my future is settled. Look at it. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still what? That I may not die. Look at verse 15. But you shall not cut off your kindness from where? He was sorting out his own seed. He understands it. That said, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Verse 16. So Jonathan did what? Oh, made a covenant with the house of David saying, let the Lord do what? Require. It's binding on David. Let the Lord require at the hand of David's enemies. Verse 17. Now, Jonathan again, in case he wanted to be sure, like Adaku and Emeka, he said, now, Jonathan again, caused David to vow. So that vow means anyone that is of the lineage of Jonathan, David has to show them kindness. Do you understand that? Anyone that is the seed of Abraham, God has to show you favor. Has to heal you. He swore to Abraham. You know, there are cloud of witnesses. Abraham is watching. If you look at Deuteronomy, that's what God was saying. He said, make you to prosper that he might fulfill the covenant to your fathers. So Abraham is watching you. Look at my son, Abike. Look at my son, Jonathan. Oh, you have to prosper her. You have to prosper him. It's my seed. She's my seed. Okay, okay, okay. God has to do something. This covenant will make a way for you this year. We will have Isaac order of testimonies in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say louder, amen. Isaac order of testimonies. So Jonathan died, and then David became the king. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Very prophetic. You know, he's a king himself, but we have the King of Kings. And then he swore to Jonathan, like God swore to Abraham, that I will do this to you and your seed. David swore to Jonathan and his seed. 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. That's why he had to say this. Look at this. Now David said, is there what? Still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may what? For whose sake? Is Jonathan there? But the oath is crying. He says, it's not like, is that male or female? Is that graduate or tall or short? Is there anyone? As long as your DNA test shows that you are the seed of Jonathan, your life has bettered, if there's a word like that. Is there anyone? Is there any believer in this house? Is there any covenant child in this house? Is there any son and daughter of the Most High in this house? Are there seeds of Abraham in this house? The covenant is crying in 2024. Is there anyone of the seed of Abraham in Nigeria, in Canada, United Kingdom, in Lagos, in Abuja, in South Africa? Is there anyone that I may show them kindness for Abraham's sake? For Verse 2. And there was a servant of the house of Saul, whose name was Ziba, a servant. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" He said, "At your service." Next verse. Then the king said, "Is there still someone?" It's not about the name. As long as the blood thing links with Jonathan, is that still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is what? Lame." Your deficiency should never be your excuse anymore. The devil has been telling you because of this, because of that, you cannot make it. No, it's lame on his feet. Next verse. It's lame. And so the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amir." Where is he? Lame in Lodibar. Lodibar means a place of scarcity, a place of shame and reproach. Is there anyone? Look at the next verse. It's a very prophetic. Then the king sent and brought him out. Somebody should get on the keyboard softly. I prophesy that this covenant by the blood of Jesus Christ is crying the beginning of this year. Is fetching out someone from Lodibar to your palace. I say you have been fetched out from lack, fetched out from mediocrity, fetched out from depression into royalty. You are not going to remain in Lodibar. There is an oath on your head. Now somebody is saying, "But I'm doing good." Oh, there are levels of greatness. There is a glory of the moon, a glory of the sun, and even stars have different categories of shining. I declare that this grace is fetching you out to the next level in the name of Jesus. Lame on his feet. Go and call him. The covenant is crying. Next verse. Hallelujah. Lame. What will you do if you are lame? What business can he do? Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Here is your servant." Yeah. Next verse. So David said to him, "Do not fear." Tell anybody, "Do not fear. Don't be afraid of the year 2024. There is an oath on your life. I will surely show you kindness." For who? "And I will restore." Father, let there be restoration. Anyone that came to Wolfbeck 2024, something was taken from you, land, promotion, money, Satan attacked you. Yes, a mistake was made, but the blood of Jesus covers those things right now. I decree restoration of destiny. Marital restoration. Financial restoration. Academic restoration. God is restoring you double fold in the name of Jesus. Be restored. They took the money. It will come back multiplied fold. They took the opportunity. It is coming back multiplied fold. In the name of Jesus Christ. So I will restore to you all the land. Lame in Lodibar has now become a property owner. Who dashed monkey banana? Now covenant dash us. Now covenant gave it to us. So they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. It was the light of your countenance. It was the favor of God. I come with that grace. You are going to be possessing properties this year. If you believe it anywhere in the world, just catch it. Properties. London, Johannesburg, Nigeria, properties, ministry properties, family properties. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. There is no landlord anywhere. Our covenant keeping God is the main landlord. When it's your turn, he reorganizes it. They will sell it. Negotiations will be favorable. It will turn and turn and turn, and it will enter the hand of the seed of Abraham. Let there be acquisition of assets. God of the covenant. Let there be acquisition of assets. Families where they've never owned their own property. Let the breakthrough happen this year. Choice properties. Favorable properties. assets that you will rejoice over. I will restore to you the land. Please stay on that verse. And of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread. Do you know what that means? For the guy in Lodibar, do you know why he was in Lodibar? Let me tell you why he was in Lodibar. If you understand where royalty works in those days, when a new king comes in, and then he comes in as a main opposition, you know, they clear off the former lineage of the former king to avoid any, you know, all those, they are doing a coup or they want to come back. That was why he ran to Lodibar, a place where, in case they are looking for me, they won't find me. But somebody sowed a seed of oath that brought him out. Instead of death, he lives. Instead of death. Look at the next verse. I love this. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a what? Yes, without the covenant, it's a dead dog. But with this covenant, you are royalty. You are a testimony. Such a dead dog as I. Next verse. And the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and all his house. Just imagine the status of Mephibosheth now because of the covenant between David and Jonathan. And the king, next verse 10. You therefore, now look at this verse. I love this verse. Maybe you've seen me preach it somewhere before. You therefore, and your sons, and your shall do what? And you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now look at the last verse. Now Ziba had what? And so how many staff does Mephibosheth suddenly have now? Count it before you speak. Please stay on the verse, my friend. 15 sons plus 20. That's how many? Plus who himself? Your business will expand. You will become an employer of labor massively. Your career will make massive progress. Look at what that oath is doing. He doesn't know. He wasn't even there. I wasn't there, but I am there by faith. That Jesus connected me with the blessings of Abraham. And God has sworn to Abraham that you and your seed, I will bless them with incredible blessings. So when you say things like, I'm a covenant child, it's not a religious statement. It's a statement of power. It's a statement of power with understanding, I am a covenant child. Some people in your office, when they face you and threaten you with this understanding, you look at them, I'm a covenant child. They will think you are speaking Christianese. But you are saying, hey, that was what David used to fight Goliath. Go and check it. He said, you come against me with the sword and everything. I come against you in the name of the God. I get back, you know. I'm not alone. So when we, because this year I feel you need to take communion a whole lot. To remind yourself that I have power. I have backing. Very horrible backing for anyone that stands on the road. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And if you are in this service, you are hearing me from any part of the world. Have you noticed that David was not talking to Ziba? Because he's not a seed of Jonathan. It's not sentiments. Are you saved? Are you bought by his precious blood? I thought he would have just said, okay, you are Ziba. You walked in their house. Okay, come on. No. You will work for them. It's the seed. I made commitment to. Being born again is not religion. Getting saved is plugging to this highest covenant. There is no covenant like this, caught in the blood of Jesus. No other blood can compare to it. All this one is a sacrifice goat, sacrifice cow. You should be laughing. And there's no human being that can sacrifice that compares to this one. Because it's the sinless blood. It's the highest level. Every other one, they line up. You know, we have microbial life, all those microbes. And then we have the plant life. The plant life is higher. They suck the elements in the soil, right? They eat it because they're higher. And then we have the animal life. Animal life also is higher than plant life and microbial life. That's why animals eat grass. Goats eat grass. Then we have the human life. It's higher than animal life, higher than plant life. So that's why we eat goat and then salad on the side, because we're higher. You understand? The animal, everything together. And we take supplement to join it, because we're higher. Then we have the demonic life. Demonic life is higher than human life. That's why people with diabolical power can oppress any human being. It can be a professor and they can turn him mad, because that life is higher. And then highest above it all is the supernatural life. That's why we cast out devils. Do you understand? That's why we cast out devils. That's why Daniel obtained dominion in the lion's den. We're higher. We're higher. We're higher. It's understanding that makes the difference. No cocotic meeting should scare you anymore. If you understand it, the best they can summon is Satan himself. And he said, I bear Satan, fall! The way Mephibosheth's destiny was transformed, I see many destinies translated this year. From Lord Debar to the palace in the name of Jesus. And one day as I was meditating upon it, God said, you are thinking about Mephibosheth alone? What about his children? If you read further, he had about two children. They were in one school in Lord Debar, isn't it? Playing with different kind of people. But you know, everything has changed. The school their children will go will be different. The clothes will change. This covenant affects everything that concerns you. There's a radiation that covers your mother, your dad, your siblings, the ones that their head, they put their head correct anyway. You know, it's a radiation. That's why when you're in a family and you are saved, you are a light. And you cover them for the ones who have sense among them. They just, don't think, because some things that touch them affects you. So God has to fight. That was why God said, before Lot goes down, for Abraham's sake, let me see I can rescue Lot. Lot was out of the way, but God knew that if Lot dies, now Abraham will be crying. But I owe him covenant. Okay, let's rescue Lot. So I pray that your parents that are not yet to die will not die this year. Any calamity that will make your year horrible will never happen. We come against evil emergencies in the name of Jesus. This blessing radiates around you. One of the ways that God translates people in this covenant dimension is what we call whispers of destiny. And I want to say that as I round up. Whispers of destiny. Life and destiny will always change by an information that is moving across. You have to grab it. The grapes of greatness are not placed within your mouth. They are placed within your reach. Isaac called Esau. Esau, go and bring me venison that my soul may bless you. It was a conversation between Isaac and Esau. But Rebekah had it. Rebekah had it. There is something you will hear, or there are many things you will hear this year. In your office, in your neighborhood, or in a WhatsApp group, that as the information is flying, the Holy Ghost will quicken you that this thing is for you. I call it whispers of destiny. They were talking. Rebekah grabbed it and told Jacob, Alele, at the end of the day, Esau did not benefit from it. It was Jacob that benefited from it. They sent David to the war front to give his brothers snacks. And he was there. Oh, my brothers, that is, I should give you these snacks. Okay, take this. And as he was giving them, two soldiers were conversing. Anyone that kills Goliath will be tax free. We marry the king's daughter. And David said, Kilo, so what did you say? What am I hearing? And now, didn't you hear what the king said? And David picked it. And the rest is history. Blind Bartimaeus was begging. Oh,
begging. And he heard that Jesus was passing. They never came to him and said, Jesus is passing. It's your time for healing. He just heard. I said, who's passing? Jesus. And he shouted, Son of David, have mercy. My destiny has been changed by one information passed by two friends talking, two people just conversing. I was in a training in LBS one time, and two people were talking about the conference in the US on their own. And I called it, what did you call that conference? This conference, I've never had it before. And they do it in Tulsa. Off to Tulsa. And my life changed. The grapes of greatness are not placed within your mouth. They are placed within your reach. This blood covenant is crying this year, just like it was crying over the head of Mephibosheth, looking for those who will take advantage of it and shine. For when it is darkest, that is when our light ought to shine. I close with an example of Gideon. Gideon in Judges 7 verse 9. Whispers of destiny. It happened at the same night that the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered into your hand. God told Gideon, I have delivered the land into your hand. Next verse. But if you are what? Let's read this together. One, two, go. Isn't God merciful? He told the guy, I've given you the land. 2024, you will expand. 2020, but are you sure what I'm seeing on online, the economic indices? So, but if you are afraid, I have a solution. Look at the next verse. And you shall what? Hear what they say. And afterwards, your hands will be, you will hear a whisper. He said, look at it. And afterwards, he said, you will hear something that will I've told you, right? But you will hear an information that will strengthen your heart. Look at it. Then he went down to Pura, his servants to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the media, look at these people, the Midianites, the Amalekites, all the people of the east were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. Verse 13. And when Gideon had come, this is a prophetic example of what I mean by whispers of destiny. Gideon was just there. He said, and when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream. To who? And he said, I have had a dream. Please stay on that for me. I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned. And the tent collapsed. So what's the interpretation? Then his companion answered and said, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, though, God has delivered Midian. Were they talking to Gideon directly? No, he was just passing. When he had this, look at the next verse. So it was, when Gideon had the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped the covenant-keeping God. He returned to the camp of Israel. Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of the Midian into her hands. So when we pray in the Holy Spirit, there will be stirrings in the city. Stirrings in your neighborhood, stirrings in coffee meetings, business conversations, executive meetings, board meetings, any kind. There'll be a lot of stirrings. And some statements, some information will be released. It's God at work. But you must be discerning that this thing they are saying, and they say they are employing some people in LNG, or they say people should apply for it, and it's just passing. You just grab it, and that changes your story forever. I close in James 4:6. This dimension is for the humble. This dimension is for the humble, but it gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace. When we say grace, They are packaged in all these dimensions, whispers of destiny, opportunities that never look like it. If you're arrogant and prideful, it's too small. There's nothing there. And you miss the grace that is packaged in that thing. I pray that we all grow the fruit of humility this season. So that when opportunities are passing, you won't. Because it never appears like opportunity. I tell them, you are not trusting God for marital partner. The man will not come to you like that. God always works with the seed. And how many seeds are beautiful? Purpose seed. What's a wedu in English? You need to see the way I was looking when I met Bimbo. Thank God she agreed. You saw. Very well. We didn't look like we're going to be anything. Many have thrown away blessings because of pride. I said sometimes ago, you know, trusting God for a marriage partner, and then, you know, we are permitted to pray, but not permitted to tell God how you should answer it. It's for the humble to assess. There are some people you've despised and you missed a season. Believe me. Oh, that was supposed to be your season, the thing that God sent them, and you just blocked. Do you know it was a housemaid that told Naaman's wife that there's an answer where you took me from? A maid. If you are too proudful, you say, what does he know about leprosy? I'm looking for leprosy experts. Does she know what I'm going through? She doesn't know. She's just talking like a small girl. Leprosy, incredible. We. People that have studied lepro, what do you call them? That study leprology. That have experience. And then you shut the lady down. You shut her down. But Naaman passed the first test. He went to meet the king. They said, there's a prophet that can heal me. So he passed the first test. The next test, he got to the place with all his entourage, you know, sirens. He was the chief of army staff of their land. So he got there. And then as he got there, Elisha said, oh, I'm busy or whatever. Go and tell him to wash in Jordan 7 times. That's advanced level of humility that's needed. I should go and do it. Wash myself in Unilag water. Unilag is University of Lagos. Did he tell him his leprosy is dirty? The water in Unilag is dirty? Do you know he got angry and turned back? Not just angry, he was in a rage. What is the meaning of this? It's preposterous. I came all the way from my city. Did you tell him the chief of army staff? He didn't even see me. He was on his way back. The same person on his way back will now kneel down the next morning in prayer. Father, you said you will heal me. And many people do that. But the healing came. So as he was on his way back, a security guy on his team said, sir, if that man had told you to do something difficult, you would have done it. Because he had carried money. Go and check it. Ghana must go. That Gehazi took later. He was ready. He thought that was the way it would happen. The man had just gone. And he reluctantly went back. As scripture says, as he bathed in River Jordan, also his body became as a little child. The main problem in your life will require humility. You will just hear some people talking about your health. And that people that have this thing, they say they should eat banana and this thing. And you know you have that problem. Call the person, what happened to a banana? Don't be looking at these are illiterates. They don't enter about medical problems. And his hand became like that of a little child. Do you know your husband can show up and you'll be angry with him after praying for a whole year? That father, Pastor Yemi said you swore. Is it true? But the man showed up in church. He's in the ushering team. Media team. And you're working together, but you only see him as media, Nisha. You just media. When you see him, it's media. And it's your husband. And he's trying to even approach you, he's afraid. Because you don't look like someone that can marry in the team, that can marry a member of the team. and then the man that you thought will marry you began to misbehave, and you still come back to that person in the team and be explaining to him. You know that's how life is. To your husband, I need to be counseling you. Don't worry, another one will show up. Put your hand on your eyes, everybody. Father, let me recognize the opportunities, the answers, the whispers that are coming my way. Let me understand. Let me see them. I ask for the grace for humility, discretion and discernment to recognize the difference in people, difference in moments, difference in opportunities. In the name of Jesus, pray in the Holy Ghost. If you can rise up on your feet, we can do that. We're closing this session right now, my session right now. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are all over the world. I want us to stir the city, stir the fields, whispers of destiny, because you know there is an oath on your life. There is an oath, he swore to Abraham. So pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost, oh Ramandasha. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you are already saved, and you desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, receive ye the Holy Spirit. I loose your tongue in Jesus' name. There is an information about that your marriage, about that your medical issue, about that business, about your academics. There is an information, but will you be able to access it? Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. I will hear. I will discern. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost too. That is how it works. Send the car. Teenagers pray. Grandma, grandpa pray. Couples pray. All the singles in the house pray. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is here. In fact, the sessions at Wolfbeck, there will be certain answers. Rekaba sangle gayada. Barada costa kasekolo deste. Abarada katokasela. In Jesus' name. I have 6 minutes. I want to show you the second part. This is whispers, and then you need boldness. Boldness. I won't be where I am today if I was timid. Fortune favors the brave. But this boldness is not what we call ogboju in Yoruba. It's inside. 1 Samuel 17:23. There are people that want to bully you. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David had them. That's a whisper, right? He had them. Next verse. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Next verse. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's exemption from this is destiny. Look at the next verse, 26. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kisses Philistines and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Verse 27. And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now, on that level, it looks like you're ready to go. But the enemy will launch the last attack. Look at the next verse. Hallelujah. Now, Eliab. You see the name itself? Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? He was cutting him to size. I know your pride, wrong accusation, and insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see. If you don't know how to manage this, you will just carry the cooler. Now, what have I done? I just thought, and you'll be crying and be going back. There are business bullies, there are spiritual bullies. There are all kinds of bullying. We have been in intercession for long. We have been doing entrepreneurship. You just started last year. You want to just... And then they say some things to you. I have to wait for 15 years. And you too, don't be an alien to anybody. Now, stay on the verse, my friend. I beg you. Look at the next thing. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? 30. Then he turned. That is the breakthrough. That turning. He turned from him towards another and said, do you have the gusto to turn like that, sir? They say this cannot happen in ministry. People in ministry don't do this at this level. You have to be in, or in business. Are you? Do you know that is? It's his eldest brother. If they have been bullying you at home, you're not careful. You know, you just and you'll be giving God the excuse. If not for my eldest brother that discouraged me, God won't take that excuse from you. There are many things God has spoken to you that you're waiting for people to approve. Too many things. And he's dead because you are waiting for approval. He turned, you know. He turned. Can you imagine what the elder brother will feel? He turned. Lift your voice and say, Lord, baptize me with fresh courage to carry out my destiny agenda this year. Lift your voices. There are some things God has revealed to you for business, for career. Oh, you will need counsel, but there is a boldness. There is a stepping out. Give me boldness. I break the power of spiritual manipulation. I turn away from naysayers. I turn away from vision killers. In Jesus' name, I have 2 minutes more. I just had in my spirit now that some people, the Eliab is inside them. Hey. That's not even the elder brother or the senior person in the family. The experiences they've had, the setbacks that they've had, is the Eliab. So when the thing comes as a vision, but I tried this thing in 2017. You know, Jesus told Peter, launch out into the deep. He said, I've told all night. But nevertheless, that means there's some things God will tell you to do that you might have been asked to do before. And now the Eliab inside will be crying out. You can't do that. It's not for people like you. You are too villagey for that. You are too uneducated for that. I prophesy and break the power of fear. Every voice within you that is not of God, that wants to limit your breakthrough, we silence them in the name of Jesus. Every Eliab within or without that has hindered you till now, we reduce their voice to nothing in the name of Jesus. Be baptized with fresh courage, supernatural boldness. By this time next year, you are a different minister. You are a different preacher. You are a different businessman. Different business, different parent, different teenager. As David's story changed, your story is changing. As Mephibosheth's story changed, you have changed. Jesus is glorified. Lift your voices. Glory to God. It's the covenant keeping God. Hallelujah. Faith in the covenant. Faith in the covenant.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.